Our passage today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, that is from verse 1 to verse 3. And verse 31, then chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. So, I don't know if we can read it together. If we can, let us read together from verse 1 in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of thank you very much. Last week, if we remember, our pastor, Reverend, talked on what God created in his own image. And he created them, a male and a female, two of them, for his own purpose. And today, we are continuing on the same theme, but now looking at what else God created. And in this passage, it's a passage that is frequently in confrontation with scientific and philosophical minds. But we will not go into those details, philosophical details, scientific details, although we'll just touch here and there to make our case here so understood to us all. We hear of philosophers like Plato, philosophers like Heraclitus, philosophers like Pythagoras, who try to think through about the universe and try to understand and make people understand what the universe is all about, and try even to give us the dimensions, try even to calculate how many stars are there, try to calculate how many moons are there, how many planets are there. And also we have the astronomers who came alongside. We have people who thought through and tried to understand the world. But I don't think there is anyone who has really understood how the world is and what the world is all about. There are scientific understanding on what they call galaxy. We are made to understand that a galaxy is a gravitationally bound thing which holds together stars, dust, and also gas. All these things are held together by gravitation. That is what we are taught. And we have what the scientists call Milky Way. That is a band of stars together. They stay there. Here it's difficult to see the stars because you have a lot of lights. But in Africa, because we use mostly the torches and the candles, those simple lamps, we are able to see the stars from the east to the west, south to the north. We are able to see the band of stars. We are able to see the clear moon. Sometimes it's just quarter, sometimes it's just half, sometimes it is full. And we see that the sun always comes from one direction. There's no day that we saw the sun changing direction coming from this side, going that side. Maybe, have we ever heard that? Have we ever seen the sun coming from this side, going this side? No, it's always the same direction. Now, when you think of all these things, you fail to understand what exactly is there. And it's very, very amazing. And it is absolutely phenomenal and amazing if you look at all this explanation, the galaxy and so forth. You are told of the Andromeda galaxy. You are told of Eclipse galaxy, Irregular galaxy, all those things boggling our minds. Yet in our passage today, we are told by the writer of this passage that in the beginning there was God. As I was going through, I tried to understand to make it easy. So, to make it easy, I grouped them into observations. Certain observations that I have observed from this passage. And I have observed 6 of them. You might observe differently from what I have observed, but for the sake of the sermon to move together, I have observed 6 things. The first one is found in verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning, God created." So when we look at this, what we see is like, you remember, Genesis is a narration. It's a narrative type of literature. Talking, present to us a history of the powerful God who brought into existence something that was not there. So it's a narration. As a narrative, there is a scene set before us. So in chapter 1, verse 1, we see that the setting of the scene before anything starts taking place. So, again, we are confronted with a theological understanding, theological statement. In the beginning. Beginning of what? And which is this beginning? By the term beginning, we are referring to the period, remote period, and unknown antiquity, eternal age, which was hidden. No one could not see it. We are talking about that period, whereby there was nothing, only God himself was there. So, the writer is bringing to us that period where nothing was there, existed, except God himself. So, then he says, he created the heavens and earth. By looking at these words, he has set the scene. Now, God, the creator, the actor, is on the stage now, is ready to do whatever he wants to do. That's now taking us to what this heaven and earth is all about. In simple terms, God created the universe. Everything in it was created by God. And now, Pythagoras is the one who used the term, another term, synonymous to universe, but he used the cosmos. And the word cosmos here, it refers to something which is in complex and at the same time in order. something that is complex, difficult to understand, but at the same time, it is put in order as to avoid chaos. So it's in a complex form, at the same time in an orderly system manner, so that there's no chaos to it. That's the understanding of cosmos. So in this passage, we see now God is a cosmic creator, cosmic God. He's bringing things into existence. But complex, at the same time, in an orderly manner. That's why you have never seen the sun changing its direction. It always follows the same direction. You have never seen the moon and the sun hitting each other. They just block each other. We hear of the time when the sun light is being blocked by the light, or the earth is blocking that eclipse and all those kind of things. But never will you hear that the sun and the moon, they have hit each other. Never. Why? Although it is complex, but God makes sure that they are in order to avoid chaos. Now, our second observation. The status of the earth. That is in verse 2. The earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. The author now has set the scene, the actor is there, and he has created, but is giving us the description, deeper description of the earth itself, how it looked like. So he said, the earth was formless. It had no form at all. It was empty. It was waste. It was void. There was nothing in it. Nothing to qualify life to come in that. That was the status of the earth. Nothing was there. It's where now you wonder why scientists say that everything just came automatic and everything was there before that. That is scientific understanding. But biblical understanding is very different to that, because the Bible says there was nothing. It was void. It was waste. There was nothing in it. It was empty. Then observation number 3, God's creative formula. He is there on the scene. He is there as an actor. He has created, and he has seen the status of the earth. So he brought his formula of creating things in this void and empty earth. And the formula he used, you can see that formula throughout the 6 days of creation. Let there be. That is God's formula. Let there be, and it was. Let there be, and it was. You go to verse 4, you go to verse 10, you go to verse 11, you go to verse 12, you go to verse 25, you go to verse 31. In all this, God said, let there be. His creative formula. Not only his formula, but the author is bringing to us someone who is supreme, someone who is mighty, someone who is strong. He's now bringing out of nothing something that anyone can see. I was surprised when I came this morning to see, I used to see those pews. I said, ah, they are no longer there. We have new chairs. And it is giving us new look, new outlook of the church, and even new carpet. Everything is new today. And also, it's the beginning of the month. New day, new month. But all these, they have the originality. The chairs, they are made out of things which are already in existence. They used a tree. They cut down a tree. They used the saw to make these chairs we are sitting on from something that already existed. But not in Genesis chapter 1. God is saying, let there be, commanding things which were not there to come into existence. What a great God we have. What a great God we serve. God who can just command and things happen. Just say by the word and everything takes its shape. What a great God we have. Now, as we continue looking at that, the first thing he created using the creative formula, it's light. There you wonder, man was created in his image, in his likeness. Why didn't God choose to start creating man and light to come last? Because man is the epitome of creation. He is created in his own image. Why didn't he create man first? The answer is simple. Where could he be? He had nowhere to stay. Even if he could say, he could have started with the creating man and creating a crocodile, what could have happened? A crocodile, could he be friendly to man? No, they are not friends. So he is God of order. He created complex things, but in an orderly manner. First thing first. In schools, we were taught that light is a conducive environment for growth, for plants to grow. We were made to plant seeds in a plastic bottle and place against the window. 2-3 days later, you see the seed germinates. As it germinates, 2 days later, you see it start bending. As it bends, look at the direction where the seed is bending to. It is where there is light. It doesn't bend the opposite. No, it's always where the light is. Meaning to say, light is essential for living. Is essential for life. Light is essential for growth. That's why God thought it wise to start with light. Let there be light. Everything should be in light. As opposed to the state where the earth was in, it was in dark, cloaked in darkness. So God said, I don't want this darkness. Let there be light. So he has created the light to give life. Then you come to verse 31. We see now some sort of satisfaction. God, after he has created, after he has done everything, in each creation, each day, there's a word he says, it is good. It is good. You go throughout the verses. It is good. You wonder, what kind of man is this God? Yes, we don't have an image of God, but the image that is coming in my mind, it's like someone who is there now moving around what he has created, touching one by one, coming to a crocodile. Thank you very much. Touching the beak, the mouth, the long, the teeth, you are wonderfully made. Coming to a lizard, you are wonderfully made. Coming to chameleon, looking chameleon, how he moves as if he's measuring like that with the eye, 360 degrees. He can see everywhere. And God is touching that. And he says, it is good. He comes to a butterfly, wonderfully made. The colors, bright colors. He says, it is good. He comes to a spider with 8 legs, moving around, jumping, posing fear to people. But with God, he said, this was good. Satisfaction. He was satisfied with what he had made. Then after being satisfied, what next? Oh, it's good. Okay. The work is completed. God has completed everything. It's like someone, a carpenter, who has made his chairs. Now he's taking water and wash his hands. I've done my work. I'm satisfied. I've completed everything. So the Bible says, having completed what he wanted to make, God rested. That's the last observation. God rested. As God rested, we see now in chapter 2, verse 2. So the creation of heavens and the earth and even everything in them was completed on the seventh day. Having finished his task, God rested from all his work. We have a revelation now picked up in New Testament, where now the gospel writer, John, is echoing this almost the same that the writer of the book of Genesis is writing about. The first line of gospel of John starts with the same thing, in the beginning. But now John, his beginning is not the beginning as that one in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, we are talking of the remote period, the remote time, unknown antiquity, hidden in eternal ages. But here, John is bringing that eternity now. From eternity, someone was there, and this someone is Jesus Christ. By using the word cosmos, that we came across, we see that God is a cosmic God. He has caused something to exist. And if you notice in chapter 1, verse 3 of Genesis, the word that has been used is Elohim. God is used, called by different names. There's El Shaddai, there's Jehovah Jireh, there is different names. But here the writer has chosen to use Elohim. And Elohim is in plural form, coming from Eloada. Eloada means God, my God, God of the Israel of the Old Testament. Now, this word Elohim is combined with Haim. If you combine Haim and Elohim, it gives us the living God. So the living God is bringing into existence something that was not there. The cosmic God. Now, the same understanding is what John is bringing to us in his gospel. He's saying, in the beginning, there was word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And without him, nothing was created. And we go to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. We see Apostle Paul is picking up the same idea where he says, we're created by one God. Our existence is through one God, our Father, the one Lord, who is Jesus Christ, in whom everything hold together. And we come to this incredible lyrical song, which is in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. There, the same apostle Paul is saying, for him, in him, all things were created. All things were created. Nothing was created that was created without him. He was there with God from the beginning. Where they were, he was there. And he created. Everything was created by him. And for him. And by him. And in him, everything holds together. You see, that is why there's no chaos. He holds together everything. What are we learning from this? We have a supreme God who is living, and that supreme God, he does not need a secondary agent to bring about everything that he created. He did not need to consult anyone else. He did not need any means, but he just spoke as a sovereign God, and everything came into being. We have a marvelous God. God who cannot be compared with anyone else. A living God. The living God is bringing things into existence. I hope you are blessed as you continue reading this book of Genesis. It's we cannot manage to go deep because of time, but you can take your own time reading it, meditating upon it, and try to find out what the Lord is saying to you. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are very thankful that we were created in your own image, and we are wonderfully made. We thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for the world we are in. Thank you for everything that we are enjoying. Everything comes from you. You are the creator. Father, be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.